Good morning.
Good morning.
How about that weather?
Yeah.
It reminds me it's just going to get colder from here, hopefully. We are glad that you are here with us this morning. Just a quick announcement before we start. If you didn't notice that it seemed like that song service may have been shorter than most, that's because that was intentional. And we have some an announcement, a presentation, if you will, after the sermon this morning. So you get a double benefit. It'll be a short sermon, just what you were waiting for. So I will just get right into it this morning. I want to talk about honesty. Let's be honest. How many people have recently, thankfully we're out of this by a few years, but how many people have had the issues going house hunting? You might see information that fits your criteria. It's the right size, maybe it's the right square footage, maybe it's the right price, and there are no photos, there's just a description. And it says, great starter home, needs a little TLC, but it sounds like there's a lot of hope for this place. And you think, I don't want to get tricked in this, but I'll at least go look at it. And you go out and you start to look through this house, and the floor is missing in one room, and it may or may not have a wall in all the bedrooms, and the bathroom's nice, and the kitchen are both nice, they're just both in the same room. And you think, maybe this isn't really the way that they made it sound. This isn't quite what I had in mind. But I want to talk about how, ask the question, are we real with God? Are we honest with God? Are we truthful with God? Sometimes we act like we have it all together, like we have to reach some state of worthiness in order to receive God's love. So we might paint a picture, at least in our own minds. I may have some things wrong. I might need a little TLC every now and then, but I've got everything figured out for the most part. But we know that there is no status to achieve in order to be acceptable or worthy based on works or how good you are to receive the sacrifice of Christ's blood. We must repent, be washed, and live a life devoted to right living as directed by God's word. But do we always repent of everything up front? Do we have full disclosure with God? Do we think there are some things that maybe he doesn't know or he won't find out? However silly that may sound, sometimes we can get caught up in that. We think that somehow we can hide some things from God, but then we think, well, I've done so many of these good things, and I donate to these charities, I've done this, I've helped with that, I do a lot of work. But we read something very different, that you don't have to get that status, you don't have to hit a certain milestone before you are acceptable to God. As we read in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, it says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So even though, while we were enemies of God, while we were enemies of Christ, he died for us. So we know that regardless of what past we have, what we're facing or dealing with, if we confess those things, if we give those things over to God, Christ's sacrifice is there for us. So when we mess up, and not if, and I'm not talking about the little mess ups that are even socially acceptable. There are some that are, they got caught up in a little white lie, or kid got caught cheating at school, and although still wrong, however, sometimes there are some we think, oh, it's just kids and they messed up. It's almost like it's socially acceptable that it was a mess up. I'm talking about those things that happen behind closed doors, the real us, behind the facade, behind the show, that we may bring here or we present before family or even the show that we present before God. Those mess ups, even with those mess ups, God's love, that agape love is still there waiting for us to turn to Him regardless of how we've messed up. But it's just that simple fact of, and that act of confession that we need to accept and commit to. And it's ironic, though, to even think about having to make the choice to be truthful or honest and forthright about whatever addiction, whatever pain, whatever sin that you're dealing with. It's funny that we think we even have to struggle with this choice to let God know these things, like He doesn't already know them to begin with. But He wants that relationship with us. And if He already knows everything anyway, why do we so oftentimes wrestle with that truth or with being truthful with Him? I've had family members dealing with things that I had no idea that they were struggling with because they wrestled with it, and they kept it contained, and they didn't want anybody to know. But the fact was they were still dealing with those problems, but they were doing it alone. So not only, A, were they not confessing it before God and trying to hide it and didn't want anybody to know, they didn't have the strength of even their family, even looking at it from a physical sense. They didn't have the strength of their family to help lift them up and help them get through it, let alone if they were to bring that front out in front before their church family, what encouragement that could be. You know, how I know I've definitely been in the position where we have an invitation song and I think, you know, I feel like I need to go forward and pray for something or ask for prayers. I'm just struggling in this area or that. And when I was in another youth group, that was completely unheard of. So one thing that I really like about this congregation is how when someone is dealing with something, struggling, an addiction, pain, hurt, frustration, whatever it is, and they come down front, ask for prayers, they're surrounded by a body of believers who are there to support them, and we pray for them and encourage them and offer help in whatever way we can. This was unheard of, an unheard of act in a congregation that I had gone to before, a church that I grew up in. And so the youth actually finally decided, you know, they had some things, there was a few that needed to go forward and confess some things, and they wanted the prayers of the church. And so because a few teens went down and they were surrounded by teens and even the adults wouldn't go down. It was just the teens up front. But then they started catching on. And if a teen would go down front and ask for prayers, the adults started to get up and go down and be with them and pray for them and show their support. And before long, we had instances like we may see here on a Sunday morning where someone comes down front to be honest and be real before God and to admit their faults and ask for God's help. And what a release that is to be able to bear everything out in the open and finally get it off. You know, it's so difficult to make that choice, but every time I've heard someone bring something up that they needed to get worked out, that they needed to confess before God, they always speak about it as a weight being lifted off their shoulders because they're trying to carry the weight of their own sin while still struggling in it and with it instead of giving that over to God and letting God take care of that. And God wants the truth, but maybe I can't handle the truth. Sometimes we convince ourselves that what we're doing is okay because maybe we're listening to the wrong source instead of listening to God's word on what is okay, what we can do or what we shouldn't do. We look at sources like the media, the news, or our current society that all the more is condoning and are condoning things that are unacceptable to God. So, if you ask anyone, especially my family, I'm not really a photo guy. I never have been. There's so many plenty of stories whenever I was a kid and they'd have us all line up and they used to have to just fight and get me to take a photo. I'd be up there looking the other way. You know, everybody else is perfect, and I'm fingering my ear, covering my face. I didn't like photos, and I quit that, you know, as of about a year ago. I finally got rid of that habit. But anyway, so I've taken more photos because we've got, teen events, and so I've been in more photos recently than I have been in a long time. But one of the main reasons that I don't really like photos is because I've always felt like they are mostly fake or faked. I feel like when you see a photo, regardless, you have to smile. You may not be in a smiling mood, but you're going to smile. And then you look back at that trip, and sometimes I remember the trip. I remember that my family, a few of them, were all arguing, where are we going to go? We need to go eat somewhere. I'm tired of doing this. Well, I want to go see this, but you want to go see that. And then it's, well, we're in front of the St. Louis Arch, so it's photo op. And we all smile, and we look at, that's what makes it to the photo album, and we see that photo. And I remember right before that photo, everyone was ticked off at each other. But the photo says, hey, we're all happy and we're all smiling. And with social media and with technology nowadays, the photos that we take, especially on our phone, are doctored up 10 to 15 times, depending on how proficient you are at the camera and whether you like the image that you see or not. And so we hardly ever truly get, when we get that picture, we just get the physical. We hardly ever get what we're truly feeling out of a picture. Because nobody would want to look through a photo album and say, all right, what's your current mood? Display that on your face. We would flip through so many trips because of the moods that we are in. But what ends up happening is we think we got to put that face on because so-and-so's got a face. So-and-so is happy. Did you see the life that they're living? You see the house that they have? You see whatever cars they drive? You see, you know, their status. They're smiling and they're experiencing this, and I have to be like that. That's what everybody is. You scroll through, nobody's posting, you know, selfie pictures of them crying or you know, upset or, you know, screaming or shouting. It's always, everything's going great. But it's because we're comparing to others. And what we all end up doing is comparing what we know about ourselves to what we don't know about others. So we see their smiling face, and we actually take that at face value, and we assume that everything's going great for them. When all the while, those smiles that we see on Facebook are hiding some of the worst moods or pain or feelings possible. Some of those faces are hiding jealousy. Some are hiding rage. Some are hiding deceit and depression, envy, greed, fear, infidelity, worry, some addiction, and the list just keeps going on. But we have to stop comparing ourselves to each other and doing what God asks of us. We need to trust in God to be who He says He is. And again, that sounds very simple, but if we trusted in Him, because He is faithful, to be who He says He is, then we'd have it a whole lot better for ourselves. And just one example is 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, plural, if we trust Him to be who He says He is, He will be faithful. But will we be faithful to Him in the things that we need to do? We have to confess those areas where we're falling short. It doesn't do us any good spiritually to grow in maturity as a Christian to keep coming in here and putting on a face and not growing and not getting rid of those things that we struggle with. It's a constant process of becoming holy as He is holy. Not that we can ever obtain perfection, but that we can give up those desires of the flesh. The fact that we're wrestling with them is good, because if we give up the fight, that means that we're going down the wrong way. But at some point in time, we have to get out even the nasty ones, even the ones we don't want anybody to know about. If we're still fighting with it, then we should be able to come down here with boldness before the throne of grace and confess those sins before God and ask for His help, His forgiveness, and the help of our church family. We have to tell them the ugly truth, or as the social media, some moms put on there, have the ugly cry. Let it out before him in confession, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we put a stopping point where he quits forgiving. Obviously, we're not talking about willful sin that he's just going to keep giving a pass for, but we're talking something that we don't want to get out in the open. We don't want others to know. We don't want God to know, to find out. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to give him our doubts, our worries, our frustrations, our emotions, and our temptations. In Mark chapter 4, we read a story about the disciples as they're on the boat crossing the sea. A storm comes up. And this is a part where they're encountering a test of faith. In Mark chapter 4, verses 37 and 38, it says, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Sometimes we find ourselves in a storm, and we don't know why. We may ask, God, I just don't understand why. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why this storm came up. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Or maybe we even, if we're going to be honest, might say, God, I don't know why you've allowed this to happen to me. The disciples didn't know why the storm had come. There's no indication that it was caused by Jesus to specifically test them, but no doubt they were in a test. It just says a furious squall, or some translations, a great windstorm came up. And sometimes storms just come up in our lives because of the world that we live in. We may have a test of faith in front of us like the disciples did. So reading on in verse 39, it says, he, being Jesus, got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Truth is, when we're going through those storms or we're having those difficulties, we don't know if we can bear them any longer. We don't know if we can stand up to the test of faith. We only need to understand the who, not the why. They forgot who was on the boat with them. And sometimes we forget who it was that died for our sins and who it was that said that they would be faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness if we would confess. When we trust in him and lean not on our own understanding, we will have that peace. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, all of it, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Everything that we have, in everything that we go through. I know that's difficult when facing stormy seas, difficulties in life, problems, addictions, whatever. It's difficult for the first thing sometimes to go to God in prayer, but when we learn and we see how faithful that he is, it becomes easier to go to him first. But in everything, make them known to God. Be honest. Get real with him, because the same Jesus who had the power to calm the winds and the seas is there to help us guard our hearts and our minds. The peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. That means our thoughts, our emotions will be guarded. When we're honest with him and we lean on him for our every need. Not just the things that we think that are acceptable to him to confess. But I wonder if we've gotten so comfortable with acting things out, with acting how we think we should act in society or even in this building among other believers, that we have to have it all together. We've forgotten how we need to be honest, not only with each other, but especially with God. Because he already knows but He wants that connection with us. He wants to free us of those burdens that we may have. If this sounds like you, then it's time for honesty with God. What is it that we may be dealing with? What is it that's causing us trouble and strife and anguish? No more fancy, elaborate, well-scripted plays before God and others that would draw an Oscar nomination. We need total honesty. And so if there's something that we can do for you, if there's something that you need to get off your chest, if there's something that we can help you with, especially doing so by prayer, please come as we stand and sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can build your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove it true? He's brought